Hello, and welcome to Fruitful, the podcast about fruit. I'm your host, the artificially sweetened, high-fructose corn syrup, gelatinous, gummy, goody guy, Zach Huddleston. And it's so nice to be here with you again. Thank you again for listening. As I post this, it's somewhat close to Halloween. I missed it by a few days, but I have an appropriate topic for this episode, fruit snacks. Yes, we've really jumped the shark bite here on Fruitful and are now covering topics only tangentially related to fruit. What can I say? I have an open mind about what can fall under the Fruitful umbrella, and fruit snacks were suggested by my guest. That guest is my longtime friend, Andrew Campfy, or just Campfy, as I have always called him and will probably call him for the duration of this episode. I've known Campfy since we were both in college at the University of Florida many years ago. He's a very special guy. When describing him to people that don't know him, I always say that he's the kind of person that when you're just spitballing dumb ideas on a couch, like how cool would it be to have a website that lists all the flavors of all the Slurpees and all of the 7-Elevens in Los Angeles? The next day, he emails you with the domain name slurpeefinder.com that he just registered. He's the kind of guy that sends you emails asking if you'd like to drive 6 hours to the closest Waffle House to Los Angeles, or you'd like to fly to Toronto to be on a food truck game show, or if you'd like to sit down and have burritos with famous writer Ruth Rachel. All of those are true stories, and all I had to do was say yes to go on a fun adventure. Campfy just makes things happen. He's started a bunch of businesses, he's undertaken thousands of weird projects, and he's traveled the world many times over. These days, sadly, he spends most of his time working remotely from Bali, which is nice for him, but terrible for me, as I miss out on hanging with my buddy and all of the delicious food we tend to eat. Campfy suggested fruit snacks, and of course, he brought a bunch of them to the recording. He's that kind of like giving organizer type of person, you know? If I had half of his gusto, this would already be episode 600 of the Fruitful Podcast. A note about the recording. We were chatting in a room Campfy was renting in Westwood, and for some reason we were very whispery. I can't remember why, but there's a bit of a library or funereal vibe to this podcast, and there's some moments where Campfy especially can be a little hard to hear. Sorry! I'll be back a few times during the episode with some fact checks and updates, but for now, sit back and relax as we take a bite out of this artificially flavored episode of Fruitful! Can I ask, why did you suggest fruit snacks?
Because I don't think anyone else would have. I thought it'd be unique.
Well, you've spent a lot of time recently in Asia. What's been your experience with fruit in Asia?
You know, my experience with fruit in Asia is actually more experiencing gelato flavors.
Do they have different gelato flavors?
They have like a wider variety or like a more local variety of flavors of gelato. So like dragon fruit and mango are like mainstays. Whereas those seem like very exotic gelato flavors here. Like you're going to get more of your like creamy gelatos, your like chocolates, which actually, funny enough, the gelato place we go to is like really, it's got a lot of stuff. They have like Snickers and Milky Way gelato and like, but I just notice because I'm a foreigner, I notice that they're like fruit style flavors are more exotic than here.
Yeah. Well, and exotic is a relative term, right? Their dragon fruit could be like a pear or anything else.
And like they have matcha, you know, flavors. Yeah. But here it's like literally you have to go to like a matcha flavor store. Like Little Tokyo or some like ethnic area to get that. But there it's like, oh, it's all an ethnic area.
Yeah. Well, it's a foreign country, Indonesia. Or is it Malaysia?
I've been in Bali, yeah, Indonesia.
Indonesia, yeah. Okay, so you suggested fruit snacks. What's your relationship like with fruit snacks? Did you eat them a bunch as a kid?
Yeah, it's my favorite like candy, like because it's like gummy bears and fruit snacks.
Were you a fruit as opposed to a chocolate kid?
Yeah.
You like the Skittles, the Sour Patch Kids, the gummy bears?
Yeah. My mom was totally in chocolate.
Yeah, I was chocolate nuts. I was a Snickers, Nutrageous, Milky Way kind of guy.
The only thing I like there is the Baby Ruth.
Oh, you like a good Baby Ruth. What is it about the Baby Ruth you like?
It's got that like that texture that other stuff doesn't have. You know, like it's got the is it not peanuts? What is it?
There's peanuts in a Baby Ruth, isn't there? Yeah. And is it nougat or caramel? I don't know. This is a fruit podcast, not a candy podcast, so I haven't done my research.
Okay, I'm back. Of course, a Baby Ruth is a delicious mix of peanuts, caramel, nougat, and chocolate made by Nestle. And, you know, very similar to a Snickers. The biggest difference between Baby Ruth and Snickers candy bars is the placement of the ingredients. Snickers have nougat, caramel, and peanuts covered in chocolate, while a Baby Ruth is basically peanuts around a nougat center covered in chocolate. Ooh, didn't think you'd get so much candy info in a Fruitful podcast.
So you suggested fruit snacks, which I loved. And yeah, I ate a ton of fruit snacks growing up. Like in reviewing, kind of doing my research on fruit snacks, I saw all kinds of brands that reminded me of my childhood. Do you remember Shark Bites?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember there was a very similar brand, but they were airplanes or jets?
Mm-hmm. And they were always like different. They all still have like a variety of shapes.
Yeah. And then, of course, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fruit snacks. Gushers, which are still a big product. Of course, the fruit roll-up. And actually, the history of fruit snacks is basically fruit roll-ups were invented by this guy as a food for like hikers. Who was like portable and shelf-stable or whatever. And then they started marketing it to kids, and then the rest is history. Never intended to be a health food. Never intended to be.
They just, aren't health foods.
No.
Fruit snacks, I don't think have ever been, at least in my lifetime, have never been advertised as, like, fruit is in the name, but not in the delivery of it.
But that's an important thing, right? Like, fruit isn't in the name of Skittles. And so we don't even think that. But, like, I think most of these companies are going for some kind of halo effect, because the things we're going to eat today are basically Skittles, right? But I think parents don't feel as bad throwing these in a lunch or handing these to a hungry kid as they would handing them Skittles or gummy bears, even though they're effectively the same. There's actually
It's the parents that are like, I can give my son a fruit snack.
But not a candy bar or whatever. Yeah, even though they're the same thing. And I think it's still ongoing. There was a big class action lawsuit filed against General Mills, who I think makes Welch's.
We have Welch's here today?
Well, yeah, that's one of the ones. Let me look at the back of the bag and see who makes it. Yeah, Promotion in Motion, Inc., which I believe is owned by General Mills. Isn't that a great name? Promotion in Motion, Inc.? That's who makes Welch's fruit snacks?
That's the company that makes candy?
Yeah. I know. It sounds like an advert, like a billboard company.
They're not.
And like they're making snacks for kids.
Treadmill company.
Yeah. But I think they're being sued by like a consumer advocate group under the auspices of you're trying to market this as healthy and there's effectively nothing healthy about it.
Well, like the Red Bull gives you wings. That we're sued because it doesn't give you in. Which I think was a promotional stunt. I don't think that was a real lawsuit.
No, probably not. Because they haven't changed it, have they?
Right. If they actually they like made the thing where they lost a lawsuit and everyone got like a free can of Red Bull, but they didn't change their slogan. If they really lost and there was really a case, they should have changed their slogan.
I'm back, and it was a real lawsuit, and Red Bull really did lose. The lawsuit was settled in 2014, and Red Bull had to pay out millions, though it turns out the lawsuit was mostly over Red Bull's claims of performance enhancement and better mental focus, and not really over the Red Bull gives you wings slogan. So it's not quite as frivolous a lawsuit as you might think. Also, there's still an ongoing lawsuit against Welch's Fruit Snacks, though a similar September 2017 lawsuit against General Mills brand Mott's was dismissed as the judge found that the claims the product makes on its package saying that it was made with real fruit and veggie juice, and it was a tasty treat you can feel good about, are factually accurate and not illegal, and that consumers have access to all the ingredients and nutritional value on the packaging, even though the top three ingredients in the product are corn syrup, sugar, and starch. Okay, back to Camphy and I and our discussion of the ethics of fruit snack packaging.
What do you think they're going to change the name Fruit Snacks to, like, what do they want?
Well, to remove the name Fruit Snacks, or like a lot of them advertise, let me look, I'm looking at the Welch's bag right now. It says made with real fruit. We'll dive into that claim. They also say things like fat-free. Of course, most fruit is fat-free. 100% vitamin C. A lot of that comes in the form of ascorbic acid that they add to it. That's just like a preservative, really. 25% vitamins A and E. Gluten-free, no preservatives, right? All of those are health claims, even though this is candy. Like, and most of those health claims you could also put on a bag of Skittles.
All of those are – not just fruit snacks in name is a lie, but every – thing on that package is a lot.
Well, and it's that whole idea of like making health claims on a food, like, is that moral or not, right? If it's truly not a healthy food, and fruit snacks are not really, certainly much less healthy than whole fruit, is it moral to make health claims, right? I don't know. And this is a fun episode too, because like I have a rich history with fruit snacks. Man, I ate a shit ton of these growing up. We always had fruit snacks in the house. Often when we wouldn't have fresh fruit, there were always fruit snacks. And then every packed lunch I ever had, or, you know, you hit up the pantry, we wouldn't usually have candy in the house or like baked goods, but it was almost always some shark bites or –
And you were a fat kid.
I wasn't
and
chubby.
And I'm a fat adult.
What were you like as a kid? Were you chubby?
No, actually, until the age of like 7 or 8, I was not fat.
Well, what about after age 7 or 8?
So I don't think it was exactly 7 or 8, but I do remember a summer. It was in middle school. So what was that? Middle school is like 10 to 12?
Yeah. Or, yeah, 10 to 14, there,
I can pinpoint the summer I got fat. I drank Diet Mountain Dew. Diet Mountain Dew all summer. And I literally would wake up, sit on my computer, I would phone up my friend who, like, Peter Tran. I don't know if that's a very general name, so that's fine. He lived like half an hour away. And we would play, now I forgot the name of it, but some like shooting strategy game. It was like, and we would use the phone to, now this is like a normal thing in games where you like have a headset and you talk.
This was before online gaming. Yeah.
We would just sit with the phones like on speakerphone, talk to each other and strategize in the game and like try to find each other. And like, it was like a military capture the flag game. It was a free online game. Played it every day, all day, drink Diet Mountain Dew and got fat.
How is that possible to drink Diet Mountain Dew and get fat? You're obviously eating things.
No, but actually, like, Diet Mountain Dew and Diet Coke are, like, the two things that people say, like, you think you are dieting, but it's not. Even though it's zero calories, all of the other things in it make your health just, like, horrifying. Yeah.
And there's something about, like, sweetness, even if it's artificial sweetness that is calorie-free, that, like, shifts your palate over time and maybe gives you more of a sweet tooth or more of a...
But it actually, like, whatever, there's another chemical in, like, Diet Coke and diet drinks. The sweet, not, what is it called? Not the sweetener. It is the sweet.
Aspartame or
yeah, whatever. Aspartame, like, makes you fatter.
Yeah, there's a lot of studies. They haven't figured out the exact science of it, but there's a lot of correlation. Well, it's that idea of, like, it's good enough to trick your tongue. So, like, what other parts of your body is it tricking into thinking that it's sweet and caloric, right?
Zach here butting back in. Ah, diet soda. That's an interesting topic. So there are a few theories as to why studies show a connection between diet soda consumption and obesity and diabetes. Though all of these theories are a bit controversial, and some scientists think that the studies are failing due to reverse causation. That it's more that the obese people happen to drink diet soda and not that the diet soda makes them obese. But the theories are one, that because artificial sweeteners are so much sweeter than actual sugar, they can distort kind of your sweet perception, so to speak. Also, another theory, some people think that zero-calorie sweeteners don't actually trick your body or brain as they're supposed to, and that your brain and body actually respond the same way as if they were eating real sugar. And kind of the final main theory is that some people think that the lower guilt of drinking diet soda causes people to consume more calories elsewhere in their diet. That's interesting. All of this is pertinent to me as someone who recently kicked a big gulp of Coke Zero a day habit. I'm feeling better for it. I'd recommend you maybe consider dropping your diet soda habit if you have one of those. Anyways, back to the fruit snacks.
Do you want to do a rundown of what we have? Describe it.
Yeah. Sometimes you have guests bring stuff. Sometimes you bring, or is it always everybody brings?
Like no, I usually provide it. Only once or twice has somebody else provided it. So this is a special treat. We've both brought some things to eat and describe. Tell me what you brought.
So I brought Welch's fruit snacks, which are just emblazoned with the term fruit snack on it. I don't know which one is classic. I feel like Welch's is pretty national. Like, everyone will know Welch's.
Yeah, that's definitely a national brand. Yeah.
Because like we said, like there's a variety of fruit snacks, which I'll get into one particular fruit snack. And Black Forest. So Black Forest gummy worms are my favorite gummy worms in the world. There's like, for some reason, they're...
And you like those better than Haribo?
Yeah, Haribo is interesting because they're very specific. They're tough. Mm. They're firm. And they have the best slogan, Haribo machen die Kinder froh, which is in German for Haribo makes the kids happy. But only in German does it rhyme. Does it have like a slogan to it? When it's like, oh, it makes kids happy. Like, if you saw that in English, you'd be like, what? That's weird. But I've never tried these fruity bites. So I've had Black Forest gummy worms, which are my favorite gummy worms, but I've never had the fruity bites.
And now Black Forest makes it sound like this is also a German company.
It probably is.
Haribo's German, and Black Forest, isn't the Black Forest an area of Germany? Does it say on it where it's from?
What I love about this is I'm sure it has nothing to do with it, but the word organic is larger than fruity
yeah,
bites.
Yeah, it says on the back, certified gluten-free, USDA organic. Now, I'm gonna read the ingredient list on the Black Forest
there's got to be nothing bites. In it that's actually organic.
And now they do, to be fair to them, they don't even say fruit snacks. They say fruit-flavored snacks.
Fruity Bites.
Fruity Bites is the name of the product, and then under that it says fruit-flavored snacks. And the top ingredients, and again, if you're not familiar, ingredients are listed by – the first ones listed are the most prominent in the product. So number one, organic tapioca syrup. Yum.
Well, the only thing organic about that is the first word, organic.
I guess that tapioca was farmed organically.
I thought tapioca was like yogurt, like you have to make it. Like
tapioca balls, I believe that's a plant.
Oh, there is an actual tapioca plant.
I think that's a plant. I think it's like a gum tree or whatever.
And that's why that's syrup then.
Yeah. This is where I'll cut in and give a fact update about what the hell tapioca is.
But you gotta. But it's tapioca syrup.
Tapioca syrup.
That's like saying
syrup.
Maple syrup.
Right. And it's basically, AKA it's sugar, right? The second ingredient, cane sugar, just straight up sugar.
Okay. So the first thing is sugar. The second thing is sugar.
Yeah. And actually, I think the tapioca syrup is probably where they get their gumminess. I'm guessing it is sweet.
It's not going to be gelatin. All right, because that's important. Okay. Is there gelatin in it?
Okay, I'm working my way through it. So cane sugar, organic apple juice, concentrate, more sugar, organic tapioca starch. I think that's how they get – that's like a coagulant or whatever. That's how they make it gummy.
So is that that's the gelatin?
I think so. Oh, well, then organic apple puree. So that's the closest thing we've come to actual fruit. Fruit puree – is like a really fine applesauce or something.
So what's almost the difference between puree and syrup? Is it a fine line?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe one has been cooked. I don't know. So this has both organic apple juice concentrate and organic apple puree. Then there's gelatin. Then organic lemon juice concentrate. Ascorbic acid, which I bet we're going to see a lot of today. And that's just vitamin C in powder form. Natural flavorings, organic sunflower oil, sodium citrate, fruit and vegetable juices added for color. And those include black currant, purple carrot, black currant again. Oh, black carrot. Ooh, that's weird. Blueberry, organic, carnauba wax, and citric acid. Carnauba wax, the stuff you use on your car. Okay.
Oh, so something important is that has gelatin in it.
It does.
So
it's not vegan.
It's not vegan. There is a vegan fruit snack. It's Bob the Builder fruit snacks.
Oh, okay.
In high school, I had a friend. She was vegan, and we literally went to Walmart and bought boxes of like the big, big, big like boxes of Bob the Builder fruit snacks because that was the only fruit snack she could eat.
Well, because yeah, gelatin comes from cow hooves. I think is the main source of gelatin. And I'm back. Turns out the Black Forest brand isn't German at all. It's from Chicago, Illinois. And it's owned by the Ferrara Group, which also makes well-known candies like Lemonhead, Sweet Tarts, Nerds, and Butterfingers. Talk about misleading packaging. Huh. It's not made in any Black Forest. It's kind of like that ice cream company, Häagen-Dazs, which was founded in New York City. I was pretty wrong about tapioca, turns out. There's not a tapioca plant. It's actually the flour made from the yucca plant, which is a tuber, sometimes called the cassava. It's popular in South America and the Caribbean. They make a flour out of the root, and then they can turn that into those weird rubbery balls that we find in our pudding or our boba tea. I guess it also gets used to make some fruit snacks, apparently. Tapioca happens to be gluten-free, so it's got that going for it. Hey, and apple puree versus apple syrup. It seems like puree is basically a very fine applesauce, and apple syrup is a condensed juice type of thing. It's basically just liquid apple sugar. As mentioned, gelatin is a mixture of peptides and proteins produced by partial hydrolysis of collagen, extracted from the skin, bones, and connective tissue of animals, most likely cattle, chicken, pigs, and fish. Mmm, yummy. Boy, these processed foods and their tons of ingredients make me do a lot more fact-checking than when I'm just talking about grapes. Okay, finally, let's get back to some actual fruit snack eating. Okay, so I opened up the Black Forest gummy bites. These look pretty normal. Fruity bites, sorry.
Get that, Nate.
I do like it. They're an easy chew.
They're soft.
They're very soft.
This is a little different consistency than the gummy worms. Gummy worms are not this jelly. They're a little firmer.
These are very squishy. What are your initial thoughts as you eat some?
I can see that like this is their version of fruit snacks. Like what we're gonna do, we're gonna get Welch's, and then we're gonna your Annie's you brought, which is probably gonna be similar to Black Forest.
Maybe.
But like this comparison to this fruit snack is what the gummy worms, their gummy worms compared to other gummy worms are.
Oh, so you think this is going to be, we started at the top and this is going to be the best of the stuff of the style that they're aiming for, which is that kind of American fruit snack style. It is. It's very good.
You know what? I can tell you right now, because I actually bought three Welch's bags.
You've already killed off one.
The Welch's taste so chemically. It tastes like chemical compared to this.
Yeah, I will say the Black Forest ones, they're light in flavor. They're not overly sweet. You could almost taste some fruit elements to it. It's not very fruity, but there's a little bit in there.
There's enough hint of fruit. But the thing is, and you'll see with the Welch's will overwhelmingly taste like chemical. It's supposed to be the flavor of a fruit, but it tastes like a fruit flavor. This is much closer to a fruit flavor.
And so just for reference, 12 of these, which is about 31 grams, have 100 calories. 30 grams of grapes, which is about an ounce, have 20 calories. A large apple, which is about 120 grams, so that'd be four times the serving, has about 100 calories. So these
four times the amount of calories.
Yeah. So for a third the weight, you get the same number of calories as an apple. These also have 0 grams of fiber. And like grapes for a similar size probably have about half a gram of fiber. And a similar amount of calories of apple probably has 2 or 3 grams of fiber.
What are the flavors? You said grapes and apple are the flavor?
Well, these flavors are blackberry, strawberry, and raspberry. So I didn't.
So we need to compare.
I know we got to compare to actual. Well, I can tell you, for berries especially, there would be a lot more fiber and a lot less sugar.
So the same amount of weight of strawberries are going to have
a fraction of the calories. I'll cut in and put that. Well, and just for reference, this is kind of even a fun mental exercise. So 12 of these is 31 grams. That 31 grams of total food has 23 grams of – oh, I'm sorry. Has 15 grams of sugar. So basically it's half sugar.
Half of it is
– yeah.
Fiber doesn't necessarily cancel sugar, but it helps – move it along.
Yeah. It slows the insulin spike that you get from consuming food.
This might be the last time I eat fruit snacks.
Yeah, why is that?
From this conversation.
Oh, good. Good. Well, be the change you want to see in the world, Camphy.
Well, yeah. Well, be the change, and I hope people listen to this thinking about like that one bag of fruit snacks you eat a week might not be worth it.
Absolutely.
But I eat a bag of these a day.
Well, now we're gonna move on to these are fruit snacks from Annie's Homegrown, the kind of well-known vegetarian processed food brand. A lot of good black bean burritos and stuff like that. Annie's is pretty well-known. And these are their organic bunny fruit snacks. These are the berry patch flavors.
So, mind you, the Black Forest, the word organic is larger than the word fruity snacks. Organic, Annie's is also organic. But the organic is a third of the size of fruit snacks.
Mm.
So they say organic, but they don't make that a big deal.
It's yeah. Well, and I wonder how much that too is. Annie's is so associated with organic and vegetarian that maybe it's they don't need to push it as hard.
Well, here's the thing that I think is so interesting, and I'm just realizing this now, and maybe why organic means oh, these are much tougher.
Mm. Mm. They're delicious, though. So they're bunnies as opposed to, like, gummy bears. Mm. They definitely are more tender than, like, a gummy bear.
Oh, my God. That flavor is just, like, strong.
Yeah. Compared to the Black Forest, they're definitely sweeter, right? Yeah. Or stronger in flavor.
But organic sounds like it's healthy.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with
it. Well, you can have organic high-fructose corn syrup, right? You can have organic anything, right? Organic sugar is still sugar.
What makes it organic? Like,
I think that just means all the fruit and vegetable products that get put into it were farmed organically. So pesticides, herbicides, only organic fertilizers, things like that. Whatever the USDA, however they regulate, you know, agricultural products to certify them as organic.
Organic to me sounds healthy, though, but it has nothing...
I mean, I guess if you're going to – if organic is something that matters to you, then sure. And if you're worried about pesticides and herbicides and fertilizer, sure. But if you're worried about sugar, maybe not so much. Okay. So like, the Annie's bunnies are delicious.
I can't believe you think these are delicious.
Yeah. Hey, man.
I'm not digging these.
You don't like them. What don't you like about them?
There's a weird texture on the outside of them that I'm not used to.
Oh, well, it's a little bit of that kind of that dry graininess that you sometimes get on the outside of fruit snacks. Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
The ingredients here are almost exactly the same as the other ones, though no gelatin. Instead, they have pectin. So that might make this vegan. On their box, they also advertise... no artificial flavors, synthetic colors, or preservatives, made with real fruit juice, no high fructose corn syrup. Hmm. Of course, they don't have high fructose corn syrup, but they do have organic cane sugar and organic pear juice concentrate.
Oh. Well, cane sugar is like what's in Mexican Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that's right. I will say, circling back to the Annie's, they kind of get you. This box has 5.8-ounce pouches. The pouches are pretty light, 23 grams. So maybe that's to avoid some of the sticker shock that a parent might see when they count the calories. Each little bag only has 70 calories, 11 grams of sugar, 100% of your daily dose of vitamin C. But
that's not hard to get, vitamin C.
No, it's not. We're probably all doing fine on vitamin C.
Well, can you – and you probably don't know this. Could you eat – if you only ate Annie's as your – 100% of your vitamin C intake, you wouldn't get scurvy.
If scurvy is what you're worried about, yeah, you could probably avoid scurvy by eating Annie's.
With fruit snacks.
Or you could just eat like two strawberries or half an apple or a handful of spinach. There's a thousand better ways to get it.
When right? you're a pirate on your 14th day
at sea. That's right. If only they had some gummy snacks. Okay, well, we've worked our way to the Welch's.
And there's two flavors.
Two varieties.
So one flavor of fruits of Welch's fruit snacks is berries and cherries.
Okay.
Not and. It's the letter N.
Berries and cherries.
Cherries. And then we got island fruits.
Island fruit. Not to be confused with tropical fruit, but island fruit. Okay. Which,
yeah, because like it could be from Japan. That's an island.
It could be Australia. Madagascar.
These are Australian fruit snacks.
Greenland. This could be all Greenlandish fruits.
But the island fruits specifically are, which actually aren't, even though they like, it sounds like the Caribbean and tropical, I don't think actually are necessarily island fruits, are pineapple, kiwi, is that it? Banana. What else is there? Is that an apple? Apples are not island fruits.
They might. Let's go to the ingredients. So we've got fruit puree in the form of grape, peach, pear, banana, mango, kiwi, and passion fruit.
Okay, only half of those are islands.
Yeah. I mean, grapes, peaches, pears.
There's no dragon fruit. There's no. Wait, did you say mango?
There, it does say mango. All right. Mango, kiwi, and passion fruit, and banana. Those are tropical fruits that are grown on islands, also grown on continents.
Well, yeah, bananas are also grown everywhere.
Ooh, and this will be our first foray. Here they've got some corn syrup. We're getting our high fructose and sugar. We have both corn syrup, sugar, and modified cornstarch. We've got our gelatin, so we're losing our vegan-ness.
Well, we weren't vegan from the beginning. Black Forest is...
Okay, I'm trying some island fruit. Now, we haven't discussed if the things that are shaped like given fruits taste like those given fruits. I'm going to try some kiwis.
Wait, the shape or the color? What is the yellow is mango, I guess.
I would say the green ones have some distinct flavor that is...
You have green?
Kiwi adjacent.
Which ones are green?
You didn't get any green ones? Keep digging, dude.
I have purple.
I'm looking at some things that seem like... I guess these are grapes. They look like a halved pomegranate.
Well, the weird thing, this is the shape of a pineapple, but it's red.
Yeah, they're drunk at the wheel, I think. I'm looking at something that I think is a banana, but it's orange.
Well, this is color orange, and it looks like an orange.
Okay, that was definitely...
Oh, it tastes like an orange.
And it was shaped and colored shaped like an orange?
Maybe not an orange.
Oh, yeah, their pineapples are red.
But does it taste like a pineapple?
Eh. It tastes like a red gummy.
Yeah. Those snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
You got to get some of those kiwis. The green ones have been my favorite so far. They're a little stingy on them, but.
Now these, if we're just talking about a stiffness, are in between the Annie's and the Black Forest.
Yeah, very soft. I would say like, again, in my childhood, when I liked a shark bite, shark bites were very firm and had like a dry chalkiness to them that I kind of enjoyed. And sometimes they would be opaque. And you'd get like those white ones or the like.
Well, had a white underbelly and the
blue top. And so like that certainly came with a chalkier texture and finish, but I kind of liked it. I mean, I like these too. I got to say, they're tasty. And the flavor, while not super accurately fruit, it's certainly more fruity than a Starburst, a Now and Later, a Skittle. Those are very much like somebody doing an impression of an orange or an impression of a lime.
I think that this is more of the same.
Really? You would group this with the Starburst and the Now and Later? Okay.
Like it is fruit enough to be like, okay, I can tell this is a fruit, but it's not like it's not like a gusher, like where you like have the flavor rush over you.
Yeah. The gush over you, possibly. Yeah.
No, try the berries and
cherries. It's a shame we're not eating gushers.
Yeah, should we have gone
one full? Of the most disgusting snacks ever invented. Still very popular, apparently. It's,
really?
It's still listed as, like, a good seller.
And, like, for, like, stoners? Like, who enjoys biting into something and then having it gush out?
I mean, I was right there with them.
Yeah, when I was, like, a five-year-old.
Yeah, you eat gross stuff when you're a kid.
I don't like that now.
I would say we've now gotten as far. These taste even less like fruit, don't they? Oh, you're repulsed, huh?
Yeah, go like I've never eaten four types of fruit snacks all at once, and now doing it, I feel a little queasy.
They have the same kind of chemically ingredients. I will say these though have like raspberry, blackberry, blueberry, and cherry and strawberry. And those are maybe milder flavors than kiwi, you know, and passion fruit. So maybe that also affects it.
Oh, I feel like the flavor is stronger.
Yeah, but not in a fruit way. More of in a chemical way, right?
Yeah. This is attacking my tongue.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel gross, right?
Yeah, I've never eaten four different types of.
Though we have tried like four different types of gummy snacks or fruity snacks. Not that much in total volume. I would eat this much for like a normal. I mean, it wasn't crazy for me to have two bags of fruit snacks and a lunch or something like that, you know?
Yeah, look, I mean, right. I brought three bags of fruit snacks to the table. I bought five 2 days ago.
So wait. You just said you got through one. You've gotten through two already?
I ate two bags of fruit snacks in the last 2 days. But for some reason, I feel queasy after a handful of four different flavors.
It's the mixing and matching, huh? It's like you went from beer to liquor back to beer, and you've never been sicker, as they say. Mm-hmm. Okay, so final verdict. Now, would you say before you were shopping for this episode, were you a regular consumer of fruit snacks?
Very regular.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about them now?
I'm pretty much done.
Done. What's making you say you're done?
Well, there's an article that was written, and I read this like 5 years ago, that said like people who read the ingredients or the nutrition facts of items before they buy them on average are 8 pounds lighter than people who don't. And I kept that in the back of my head for the last 5 years. But now it's like, I don't think I've ever sat down and read the like ingredients of these things ever before.
Why is that?
I just like the taste.
Yeah. And maybe a little bit of willful ignorance. Mm-hmm. Like you'd rather not know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now that I've forced the knowledge upon you.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I opened the door to this. This is, I invited you in.
And that concludes our episode about fruit snacks. I want to thank my good buddy, Andrew Camphy. He's already back living in Asia as I record this. And I want to thank him for suggesting fruit snacks, for being on the episode, and for being a great friend for a long time. You know, I'm happy, Camphy says he's going to give up fruit snacks, both because he's my friend and I want him to be healthy and happy, but also because I love fruit. And I've been thinking about this more. As a fruit lover, it kind of pains me to see people eat like a bastardized, pale imitation of the thing I love when they could just be eating real fruit. You know, it's like as if you were a really big Michael Jackson fan, but all they played on the radio was the Alien Ant Farm cover of Smooth Criminal. You know? I think back when thinking about fruit snacks, I think about the food writer, Mark Bittman, who's written for the New York Times and written a bunch of books. He says that like kind of his big recommendation is that you can eat whatever you want as long as it kind of looks like real food, you know? And when we stop and look at something like a fruit snack, it doesn't really look like a real food. Nothing that looks like a fruit snack comes off of a tree, right? Granted, they are stamped into the shape of a cherry or an orange, but they're pretty unnatural.
And you know, and I'm not against people eating candy. I just think, hey, call it like it is. If you want to eat candy, eat candy. And if fruit snacks are your choice for candy, go for it. We just shouldn't think of them as anything other than that candy. Yeah, I don't want to guilt anybody, and I'm happy people are celebrating fruit in any form. But one could pretty strongly argue fruit snacks are not fruit in any form. Ha, this got political. Thank you again for listening. You know, if you'd like to, like the podcast on Facebook, write a review on iTunes, just tell a friend about it. How about that? As always, I appreciate your listenership, and I look forward to talking to you next time. Have a wonderful, fruitful week. Bye-bye.